Okay, we are at the 7:30 mark, so welcome all to the November meeting of the Ottawa PC User Group. Guests, as always, are welcome. If you want to join, we'd be happy to have you join our happy little band. Don't feel obliged to do so. I'm going to mute all, and you are not going to have the ability to unmute yourself, just so that we get through the presentation in timely fashion. If you have any questions or comments or requests for demoing of certain features and things like that, throw them into the chat. I'll be monitoring that, and I can interrupt our speaker, Lawrence, if we have something that I think is timely and needs to be dealt with immediately rather than waiting for Q&A at the end. At the end, we will open it up so the microphones will be open, as well as there will still be the chat will be available, so people can either unmute themselves to ask a question or request a demo or whatever, or do it through the chat, whichever way works best for you. The presentation, as well as the audio recording and the contents of the chat window for this, will be going up probably in a couple of days on our website under the past presentations area of the website. So tonight's presentation is on our famous Windows 11 and the much maligned, and we'll see if Lawrence defends it well. Lawrence Patterson is our program chair, and he has been dealing with Windows 11 for quite a while, and he is going to tell us everything he knows about Windows 11. So, Lawrence, take it away.
Okay. I will add one thing, Chris, and I should have mentioned this earlier, is that the presentation itself isn't meant to be interrupted, as we have a cast of voice actors that are going to be helping me along. And so there will be plenty of opportunity at the end of the presentation to ask questions, including an epilogue of which I'm going to go back over a couple of things. So without further ado, I am going to make sure that I share the screen and that, and share sound, and away we go. All right, so with that, I'm just sorry, folks, I'm managing Windows here so that I can see what's going on, including the chat, just in case. All right, okay. So, really? Okay, all right. Just a second. Okay. Yeah, it's always one thing. In this case, it's an overlapping screen of all things, but it's enough that I can do what I need to do. All right, folks. Well, welcome. And to my anticipated topic, Windows 11, it's here to stay. And it's prefaced with the comment that, well, till Windows 12 comes along, right? So we are going to start the discussion with an introduction by Gary and Cheryl. Take it away, folks.
Boy, I'm really bummed out.
Oh, Gary, what's the deal now?
Oh, my 2016 Windows Auto feels old.
Why is that?
Well, it doesn't have the same snappiness. The windows don't go up and down as fast as they used to, and the protection is really lacking.
And what do you suggest we do?
Well, Windows has a new model. Microsoft has a new model called Windows 11.
So what does Windows 11 give us that we don't already have with our reliable Windows 10 model?
Well, it provides more secure experience, newer features, a faster engine, and a processor with even more safety features.
So they say, okay, I'll bite. What do you want to do about it?
Well, I was thinking we could go down to the dealer with our Windows 10 unit and see how it compares to Windows 11.
We're going to be able to trade in our Windows 10 model, right?
Well, I wasn't maybe we'll keep our Windows 10 model. It'll be supported for 3 more years until October 2025. We can always use another computer. I mean, Otto.
What? October 2025. Never mind. I guess it doesn't hurt to look.
Well, hello, good folks. I'm Herb Tarlick. How may I help you today?
Well, good morning. I understand you have a new Windows 11 model available.
Yes, I do. In fact, it was just upgraded to 22H2. I mean 2022. New and improved.
Wait, 2022 or 22H2? What do you mean new and improved? Hasn't Windows 11 been available for a year now?
Yes, it has, and getting new features every month or so. Or, well, newer stuff coming out all the time. Just wait till you see the fancy new File Explorer tabs. It'll rock your world.
Ooh, File Explorer tabs. I've waited so long for that feature. I'm so excited.
And don't forget, with the new hardware standards, it'll mean better security.
Yeah, right, File Explorer tab. You hardly use tabs in Google Chrome, never mind in File Explorer.
With Windows 11 and the new Edge browser, it'll be much better than that crudgy Google Chrome.
Okay, enough you two with the Windows 11. Herb, let's see what you have.
Sure thing, madam. Let's see what you're working with now.
Okay, let me drive it in right now.
Oh, it's a good thing you came in when you did. Look at that logo and the features. Jeez, it's so 2016. Oh, man. If you stayed with this, the baddies will be able to steal your contents in no time.
All right, let's see the Windows 11 model.
Right away. Here it is.
See, Cheryl, the new logo. It's so cool.
Wait a minute, Herb. What are you trying to pull here?
Madam, I mean, Cheryl, what all do you mean?
You're trying to sell us an old model version 22H2, which was available late September, and now it's November.
Okay. Well, give me a moment. Let me take a look under the hood. Oh, I see now. Let me trigger an update.
Well, we're waiting.
Come on, Microsoft. Jeez, trying to make a sale here. I got it. One more update. Please, please let this work. And reboot. One moment, please. Okay, thank Microsoft. Here it is, and one more reboot.
Finally, I hope it was worth the wait. Listen, Gary, there's nothing special with Windows. Why don't we go with a Mac?
Yeep! Oh, my, no, not a Mac. Or even worse, Chromebook.
Yes, a Mac with the new powerful M2 chip. So efficient. Why didn't I think of that sooner?
But have you considered how much happier you'll be with Windows?
How so?
Let us start with the economics. Windows commands 87% of the market. Apple is only 10%, and the rest, well, including Linux, that's not even worth mentioning.
Sure, that just means 80% of the world doesn't get it, especially from a design perspective.
But were you aware of how Microsoft has a Mac-like design with Windows 11?
How so?
Look at the rounded corners. It's the start menu being in the middle. It's a better Mac with more flexibility.
Well, I do say the interface is nice, but Cheryl is a big gamer. Can Windows 11 do games?
Does Windows 11 do games? Of course it does. And hey, don't take my word for it. Let's allow my good friend Pease to explain more. Pease, take it away.
I did a quick test, and very surprisingly, my Windows 11 test had a much better benchmark than the Windows 10 test. Almost a 100 FPS difference in average FPS. Now, I'm not sure whether it is caused by the secure boot setting in the BIOS, but I did notice that on Windows 11, the GPU usage seems to always be a little higher than on Windows 10, which could mean that Windows 11 is better utilizing the graphics card. For more in-depth...
Well, I can get behind that type of power as I'll finally take Barry down in Fortnite.
Wait, who's Barry? I thought you were in a women's league.
Oh, Barry's just the guy that drives me home rather than around the bend.
All right, Bert. Well, my better half takes out her frustrations on gaming with Barry. I have important work that has to get done. Tell me how Windows 11 can upgrade my game to impress my boss.
Microsoft has redesigned many of the components, such as clock.
What? Clock? What do you mean by clock?
Yes, clock! It's Microsoft's new productivity tool. It's one example of the many apps that Microsoft has redesigned. Other examples, Media Player, Photo App, and don't forget the new Clipchamp video editing tool.
Okay, you can't be serious. Clock?
Gary, I'm serious. Let me show you what a surprise clock is and how it can bring your A game to your career. When you open up clock, you see the focus sessions. We'll get back to that. But note that you can pair your Microsoft To-Do, which is a free app, with Spotify, and if you require inspirational music while you work, to set up your focus session. And keeping things familiar, we have... One moment, folks. We have to allow for the Amber Alert to come through.
Yeah, we're all getting it.
All right. Okay. So back to the presentation. And keeping things familiar, we have the following true and try clock functions. We have the timer, the alarm, the stopwatch, and of course, the world clock. But let's have the folks at PureTech give a quick overview of Clock's focus feature.
Then when you have everything set up, you can create your session. And to do that, you will select the task that you want to complete. And then on the Spotify section, you're going to select the playlist that you want to be listening to while you're doing your task. And then you will set the time that you're going to dedicate for that specific session. Depending on the time range that you select, you will get a number of automatic breaks. However, if you want to skip the breaks, you can simply check this option. And once you're ready, just click the Start Focus Session button. Then during a specific period, as you can see, in the next 5 minutes, we're going to get a break, but you can stop the focus session if you want, and all the daily progress will be tracked in this widget right here. It is also possible.
Clock, focus, what else?
Yes, many things. The rounded corners, for example.
Yeah, the rounded corners. What else?
You look like a couple who are organized and respect your old Windows 10 desktop. Am I right?
Ha, respect. You should see how Gary leaves junk files all over the desktop.
Hold on a moment, Cheryl. Me with a messy desktop? What about you with massive piles of your avatar's clothing leaving here and there and everywhere?
Yes, a lady can't do battle without the proper outfit, and it's at least organized.
Organized? How can you call all those numerous folders of outfits lying here, there, and anywhere anything but a complete mess?
says the person who can't keep their Excel and PowerPoint files in any kind of order.
Hold on, folks. Windows 11 has the solution with its revised virtual desktop.
Well, okay, Bert. How can Windows 11 save us from all our desktop woes?
Gary, Cheryl, let's have the folks at Access Random show how to be productively funny. Take it away.
Today, we're going to create and maneuver between multiple virtual desktops in Windows 11 on one monitor, allowing you to organize your workspaces and multitask quite never before. Windows 10 also had this feature with the Task View button on the taskbar, but Windows 11 brings some improvements to the virtual desktop. And you know it's virtual because when you reach for it, you can never seem to grab it. First of all, the icon looks like this, and if you don't see it, make sure that it's turned on in the settings by right-clicking the taskbar and toggling the task view on. If I now click or hover over that button, you'll see a representation of the main desktop pop up with the option to add another one. By right-clicking the image, you can change the wallpaper for that virtual desktop. Let's choose this one. I can click on the image header and rearrange the desktop just by dragging and dropping. Desktop 1 now becomes 2, and 2 becomes 1, but you can give it a more permanent name by right-clicking the image and selecting Rename. Let's call this Rock. Another way to rename is to simply click in the header caption. Let's call this Hard Place. Each desktop is its own workspace, so you can start apps in one and independently launch apps in the other. If you want to navigate between desktops, you can pop up the Task View button or use the shortcut key Control Windows Arrow. Control Windows Left, Control Windows Right. Control Windows Left, Control Windows Right, allowing you to seamlessly transition between a rock and a hard place. And if you ever decide to close a virtual desktop, all apps collapse into the closest desktop that's still open to its left. I hope you enjoy.
Oh, good. I don't have to leave Harry. Oops, I mean Gary, because of a messy desktop.
And there you go. Windows 11 bringing peace and security to us all.
Well, we'll see about the peace part. Herb, I have to know about security. I work for a very obsessed IT manager. He wears a tinfoil hat. I got to please him. How will this help?
Yeah, tell me about it. You know mine insists on 15-plus character passwords? I mean, really?
Sorry, Herb, I can't spend hours here talking tales. I need to know, how will Windows 11 keep my IT manager off my back?
Well, first off is the TPM2 hardware stipulation that allows the use of current cryptography to better protect customers' identities by using Windows Hello and BitLocker. Second is the recently introduced 2202 Smart App Control that prevents unknown or untrusted apps from being loaded.
Smart App Control, that's good. We'll have that on our new computer, right?
I have to check. See, it only works on newly installed Windows 11 2202 systems. But hey, and third, we have built-in enhanced phishing protection, courtesy of the newly enhanced Microsoft Defender Smart Screen.
Now, Herb, what about the Android support stuff? Do you have that?
Gary, I'm so glad you asked. Here's what Theo Joe has to say.
For Android apps, you might know that you can install the Amazon App Store on Windows 11 and then run Android apps from it. Before, there was an extremely limited list of about 1,000 apps from the Amazon App Store that you could install. They've now increased that to about 20,000, so they've greatly increased which ones are curated for Windows 11. And also, I believe it looks like they rolled out the Amazon App Store to international markets. So if you weren't able to use this Android system feature before, try it now. Coming near the end.
Herb, I understand that Windows 11 voice access. Can you show me more about that?
It is so nice to have an intelligent couple ask these important questions. Without further ado, let's have Neltran Tech explain further.
Voice access command. So in Windows 11 22H2, there's a feature where you can navigate your PC with voice commands. So to activate that, just right-click the desktop, click on Personalize. On the left side, click on Accessibility and scroll down and click on Speech. So this is the voice access. I'm going to turn it on. So once you turn it on, you can activate it by saying Voice Access Wake Up, or you can press the mic button to activate voice access, and the mic button is here. Now, once you activate this, usually there's a box here and you'll have to click on agree. And it says here, the voice access modern voice command feature to help you interact with your PC and dictate text is currently available in English, United States. So I'm going to say, voice access, wake up. So that's how you activate the voice access. Now, on the right side, there's the settings icon. Click on it, and here's where you can select your default microphone. I already selected it. It's here. There's also manage options. You can turn on automatic punctuation. You can filter profanity and automatic startup setting, and you can turn it off here. And there's a question mark here. I'll click on it. You can click on view all commands. So here's a list of voice access commands. And there's a whole list of topics here. There's a start interactive guide. So if you don't see it here, the start interactive guide, you can access it here. I'm going to click Start Interactive Guide. And this is just a sample where you can practice, and it gives you some instructions here. And it says here, try saying click followed by the name of a control, like click animal friend. And you can follow the steps here. So for example, I'm going to turn on the voice access. Click animal friend. Click cat. Show numbers here. Click 13. Show numbers here. Click 15. So I'm going to click next here. So on this section, and this says here, the grid overlay helps you control the mouse pointer and perform actions like clicking on the precise location. So these are some instructions that you can follow. It says try saying show grid here. So I'm going to click the mouse here, and I'm going to turn on the voice access. Show grid here. 6, 2. So I'm going to click next. And here's where you can dictate and edit text. I'll click next, and I'm going to click done here. Now here, so on this screen, I'm going to say show numbers. Show numbers. Click 47, and it opens up my Microsoft Word here. Show numbers. 43. And it opens up a Google browser. Show numbers. 24. National Geographic. Enter. So this is an example of how it works. So you can
And Herb, I see you kept the most important part to the end. Exciting feature to the last. Let me catch my breath. The File Explorer tab feature.
Great you are, Gary. Let me have the folks at Online Computer Tips show you the excitement that comes with Windows 11.
Here's how it works. You just open up File Explorer like normal, and you see you have tabs up here, and you'll have a plus button like you do with your web browser. So you can just click on that, and it'll open up another tab. So it'll always open up the new tab at home. And by the way, home is used to be called Quick Access, so now they changed that to home. So we'll see if that sticks. But if you want to open up a tab somewhere else, let's say your documents, you can right-click on it, open a new tab, and it'll open it there. Or, you know, just from your C drive, from wherever, open a new tab, and of course you still have the open a new window if you want to open a whole other window, and then you can open tabs within that window and just have tabs and windows all over the place. So there's some right-click options. So when you right-click, let's say, close tabs to the right, that'll close everything to the right. Let's open up a couple more here. And let's say you want this one. But you want to close everything else, you can right-click it, close all other tabs, and then I'll just leave the one tab. So pretty simple to use. So like I said, you'll know when you have it, when you open it, you have the little plus button. That means the tabs are enabled. And if you want,
wait a moment. What did he mean by you'll know when you have it? Isn't it included with the 2202 update that you installed?
Microsoft is rolling it out right now, in fact. But, you know, it's not there yet, but it will be.
As much as I would like to keep Gary happy, Bert, what do you mean by, but it will be?
See, that's the benefit of Windows 11. Much like you saw in Windows 10, there'll be minor improvements added as time goes on. And Windows File Explorer, it's just another gem that'll come to you folks real soon.
Okay, I guess, I mean, we can wait a little bit, given all the exciting features you've shown us so far.
That's right, folks. Windows 11 on a new computer will get you the following. A Mac-like interface with rounded corners, a flexible center-based start menu, and no having to limit your software choices with Mac limited to 10% of the available software market. Gaming performance that beats what Windows 10 provides. Superior and revised utilities such as Clock, Focus Sessions, Enhanced Mobility Center, and more functional Windows terminals, widgets, and increased tablet functionality. Windows Virtual Desktops that provides a simple way of keeping the desktop working the way you want it and keep the peace within your significant other. As well as increased security that'll blow away that tinfoil hat IT manager. Then there's the flexibility with installing using Android apps, the flexibility of using voice access, and the literally just coming in October, November, File Explorer tabs, along with the promise of further improvements to come. Cheryl, Gary, what do you say? Are you ready to rock your world with Windows 11?
Okay, I see how Windows 11 is worth the investment and gives me the ability to be the queen of gaming and cool at the same time.
Plus, all the additional security features with virtual desktops, keeping the peace, and the excellent expectation of File Explorer tabs.
Are you ready to drive away?
Yes.
We
are.
All right, folks, that's the presentation. My thanks to Linda and Bob for providing their voices. Now, we can open things up and discuss things further. When I was creating this, I didn't think it would be beneficial to go into a long, drawn out, Windows 11 can do this, blah, blah, blah. Windows 11 can do this, blah, blah, blah. Because I know many of you, you know, are going to look at Windows 11 and say, you know, really, it doesn't matter to me. Or I have a Windows 10 system. I'm not interested in buying a new computer right now. Multiple reasons. So I thought best to keep it light. And, you know, we will explore the different things as we go through the epilogue and including the smart apps in just a moment. So, first off, a bit of trivia. Raise of hands. Who does Herb Charlotte's character come from?
WKRP.
WKRP. Exactly.
Where's your plaid jacket?
Yeah, I know. I wish I could. Wish I could have found one. All right, so getting to 22H2. Well, that's what's currently running on this system that I'm talking to you right now. And further to that, that's exactly how it happened. So as I was preparing this presentation, about 2 weeks ago, was getting through it, and I was wondering if I was going to get 22H2. Then, you know, Windows Update came along and said, oh, there's some Intel updates. Okay, fine. Let's go. Let's do the Intel updates. Great. Wonderful. And then, you know, a couple of days later, it came up and said, oh, Dell has a firmware update. Okay, all right. And I've been down this route before, so I knew what was probably going to happen next. So I did the Dell firmware update, rebooted the computer, and lo and behold, the next day and a half later, 22H2 becomes available. So my point in stating all that, and I don't, you know, I can only tell you the experience from the Dell side of things. And to my sub point here, I actually use Windows updates for my drivers. And I know that's a sacrilegious comment to many out in the computer community. I mean, if I'd said this 2 years ago, I'd be laughed out of the room. Now it's Dell and Microsoft have worked to keep the updates in sync. And so far, knock on wood, now watch. You know, I'm going to say this, and then tomorrow I'm going to have a situation where I'm going to have people calling me, say, oh, my God, the Dell doesn't work, yada, 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 and I'm going to find out that Microsoft or Dell has stuck it to me. That's life. You know, it's either that or I spend the time trying to manage that, versus allowing Microsoft and Dell do their thing. And so far, as I said, it's been working fine. So, you know, for anyone that is steadfast and saying, oh, I'm going to control Windows updates. So I'm a big fan of Ask Woody, the computer support site. They've branched off onto Mac and so forth. They're a great source for updates, especially from the commercial side of things. Anyways, I know that there is many people that they control how the updates get applied to Windows. So it's not for everyone. But, you know, I got to think of the average user who really doesn't, you know, just wants to use their computer. And, you know, when Microsoft says, hey, we got this great feature called Voice Assist, they want to use it. So in reality, they're going to just allow the updates to come down. Now, I do say that, no, that's unfortunately, I got my points mixed up. But why I'm on this train of thought, I will, okay, no. I'll continue on. Sorry for that. My points should have been layered better. But for the, I just want to mention that for the sake of time, I used OBS to record snippets of the YouTube content. So if you happen to go to the PDF and run the YouTube videos, you may find, I think there's one person that a lot of their dialogue, yeah, I think they spend about 5 or 6 minutes on it, a great dialogue. But, you know, I picked out the 1 minute that they said, oh, here's an example of Windows 11 really being functional. And yet that's the only good thing he had to say out of the 5 minutes. So anyways, you're going to get varied opinions on Windows 11. You know, if you're interested in that opinion and you want to follow it, by all means. What I wanted to say. Oh, this is the point I mixed up. So File Explorer tabs. I think Chris has made mention of it. I don't know if he did it in the general channel.
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, File Explorer tabs became available Tuesday. Now, am I going to jump in and upload it? No, I'm not. I know right now, actually, of course, my unit, Windows 11 home unit is saying, oh, hey, we got updates. And I'm like, okay, fine. Let's give it a couple weeks. I've waited this long for the File Explorer tabs. I want to see what happens, like I do almost every month. If it's not a critical security update, give it a couple weeks. Don't let yourself be the guinea pig.
Well, part of the problem there, Lawrence, is that it is part of critical update. So it's the patch Tuesday, and you can't separate out the functionality from the security patches. So I typically will tell people wait maybe a day or two After that, millions of people have tried it by then.
There you go. You pick your stand and you work with it. Whatever stand you take, all I can tell you is try to be consistent, because in the end, that's going to help you in the end. Yeah, like that, Tom. Take two tabs and call me in the morning. All right. So I wanted to, because we have the time, I wanted to take a moment and review the smart app control a bit more. And just a moment, please. Now, I'm hoping we're not going to see the ads, but man, if we do, we do. So this is Theo Joe, and he did a bunch of things on the various Windows 11 features. I thought this was a good one to go over, and I could have included it in my presentation, but again, I wanted to give time for questions and so forth. So in hindsight, I should have included it in the presentation. So be it. Here it is now.
Now, the next feature is Smart App Control. This one's going to take a little bit to explain. It basically lets you completely lock down the computer and only allows any executable or program to run if it is either signed by a trusted certificate, a code signing certificate, or has been vetted and is well known to the smart screen, which is like Microsoft's antivirus cloud thing. However, the big catch is if you already are using Windows, you cannot enable this after the fact. You can only enable this on a new computer or a clean installation of Windows. So you can see I did a clean installation on a virtual machine, and in here it defaulted to what is called evaluation mode. So this is basically where it kind of tries it out, sees if you run any programs that it would interfere with, and I think if it does, then it just goes off. But if it doesn't, I think it'll recommend that you do enable it, or I can just enable it here manually. However, on my main computer, it is not enabled. Actually, it doesn't show any setting, but when I try to select to enable it, it doesn't do anything. Even after I select that and do the UAC prompt, it still doesn't show anything afterwards. And what's important to know is you can turn it off at any time, but you can't turn it back on if you do. And the reason for this is I assume they want this smart app control feature to kind of be like a guaranteed secure state. It's probably going to be extremely effective in blocking malware, because obviously malware is not going to be signed by a trusted certificate, or at least you would definitely hope not. So even if something was able to get through your antivirus and wasn't detected, then it's not going to be able to run, even if it got through everything, because it's not signed. And you can see here, I just made a MDEXE file, and if I try to run it, it simply says, this app can't run on your computer. Now, for 99.9% of people, I actually think this is a pretty decent feature. Most people are not using unsigned apps. They're usually made by like smaller developers that can't afford a code signing certificate. Or I believe even if it's not signed, if enough people have downloaded and run it and it's decided to be trusted, then you'll still be able to run it. So the only apps that don't run are really apps that are not commonly downloaded and not signed at all, which is a very small set of apps. If you're a developer, obviously you might be creating EXE files that you would want to run and test, so that might be a problem. You probably don't want that to be enabled. But if you're just like on a business computer, that's definitely a feature I would want to have enabled, because if you're on a business PC, your company is, then you're probably already going to have a list of programs that you only want to allow anyway. So it'll probably protect from people accidentally downloading any kind of virus that would be like ransomware or something. One funny thing that happened is I noticed when I tried to run the terminal in this virtual machine where it is enabled, it popped up a thing that said that it couldn't run part of the program, which is WSL.exe, because it couldn't figure out who published it, but that's Windows Subsystem for Linux, which is part of Windows. It's by Microsoft, so that's kind of funny. And also, I'll note that it even blocks apps if it's put into a Windows sandbox, so you can't really get around it. So if you're on a computer that is like mission critical and you only have a certain set of apps that you want to use and you're not going to be installing apps that are sort of uncommon, then I don't see a reason not to enable this. It'll just that much more increase the security of your PC. Of course, you'd
Okay, so let's unpack that for a moment, a couple of things that he said there. And one point is that it has to be on a clean install with 2202 already installed. So I would suspect that this machine that I'm working on right now would not be covered by it. I haven't had a chance to try it out, but anyways, and I've read enough about it to confirm what Theo Joe has said is pretty much accepted. So, Microsoft has provided similar security settings before, and it feels like deja vu. I mean, I feel like deja vu from Windows 7, where, Microsoft said, oh, we're only going to allow certain applications to run. And then, oh, everything could run. Oh, okay. Well, that was, that really wasn't intuitive. And I don't know if you noticed in the member forum, there was the discussion about Windows finally blocking unsigned drivers. Well, same scenario there, folks. Microsoft said 3-4 years ago that, oh, we were going to block these. And then they said, oh, they're blocked. Yep, they're blocked. And then 2021 came along and a commentator said, but no, they're not blocked. Oh, yep, they're blocked. And then I think in 2022, other developers said, Microsoft, you're full of it. And finally, Microsoft said, oh, yeah, well, now they're working. So, yeah, and, the smart app control, we'll have to see how things go, because the big problem with this is that I've had machines 3 years into Windows 10, just as an example, and I've had them rebuilt because I had to replace the hard drive or whatever, and they came up with the first version of Windows 10. So then I'm looking at a situation where I have to bring this up to the greatest and latest Windows 11, and will it have smart app control? I don't know yet. So anyways, like many things that Microsoft does, you sort of have to take it with the thought that it may or may not work in the end, and we'll know more a couple years from now. It's an unfortunate development, but it is what it is. So that's pretty much the presentation. Now we're open to general discussions and further thoughts about Windows 11 and any questions that you might have. Sorry.
Okay. I cannot force an unmute, but what I can do is mute all and allow people to unmute themselves. So Lawrence, you'll have to unmute yourself now as well. So I have set it so that everybody is able to unmute themselves. So if you wanted to ask a question or ask for a demo of a specific thing, now would be the time. You can also do it through the chat while we're waiting. I do have a couple of things to relay through from the chat from before. Tom had a question about have they changed it so that you can have a left-hand vertical taskbar rather than just having it at the bottom?
My understanding is that, yes, with Windows 11, I do have the newest version. Let's just see here, folks. Personalization. Taskbar behavior. There it is. Yes, you can.
No, that's just the start button, whether it's centered or whether the start button is over at the left-hand edge.
No, it's the whole taskbar. If I know you can't see it because, hang on, let me share my other screen, folks. Just one moment, please.
Just to really show it, you'd have to unlock your taskbar and then try to drag it over to the left-hand edge of the screen. I don't think you can still.
Right, well, just a second. One moment, please. Okay.
And share sound, right? Okay, all right. And so there it is. Personalization.
Yeah, so there it's at the left. So that's the, yeah.
And but, then,
but having it as a vertical bar going down the side of the screen, I don't think you can do that.
Oh, vertical, right. No, that's right. No, they've removed that completely.
Yeah. Yeah, they haven't brought it back yet. I haven't heard of any plans for the, from them to bring it back either. So I think for the time being, we're stuck with that. Tom also had a question about, does Windows 11 Home have BitLocker?
No.
Yeah, I think that's limited to Pro, Enterprise, and Education versions of Windows. Alan had a comment, none of my machines will run Windows 11, but they all run Linux.
And I was waiting for Alan's reply to my Linux jab.
Yeah. I'll just interject while we're waiting for any other comments or questions or requests for demos. If we have any guests with us tonight that are not members of the Ottawa PC User Group, if you want, it's only $20 a year. If you want to join, I did paste into the chat, and I'll paste it in again, a URL to get to join the group. So check out the chat if you are interested in joining the OPCUG.
I think Tom and then Harvey had comments.
Okay. Yeah, there's been a bit of a chat about can the app control block batch files, PowerShell, and things like that. I think the long and short of that is that no, because those are normal functions within within Windows itself. If your batch file was to call a program and that program was unsigned, it would be blocked, but the batch file itself, of course, wouldn't. And he asked, how do you sign a batch file? Well, you can't sign a batch file, but anything that you run from within the batch file would have to be signed apps. He commented on the fact that buggy drivers are not blocked unless you do it manually. I think the intent of app control was never to block buggy software. It was to block unsigned stuff. And actual fact, all drivers in Windows 10 and 11 have to be signed. So that's not really an issue. What else we got here? Is there any indication that Microsoft will drop the requirement for TPM2?
No. Now, interesting, folks. I was going to lead with this as a part of Herb's explanation, but I couldn't find the article. What I read about a couple months ago was that the U.S. government basically stated that all operating systems that were to be running with under the federal government, U.S. federal government, will require to run using TPM2. So for Microsoft to – so the theory is that Microsoft made TPM2 the requirement because of the U.S. federal government stipulation as part of their – buying protocols or whatever you want to call it. So I wish I could have found that article to reference it because it's one of those things that you read once or twice and then no one brings it up again. So.
Well, I think that the TPM2 is actually less of an issue than the level of processor because the TPM2, I think most computers that have been built in the last 5 or 8 years.
2016, yes.
2016, so 6 years at least will have TPM2. However, it's not the same on the processor side, and I have a bunch of 7th-gen Core i7 processor machines that are perfectly serviceable, run quick as a bunny and all the rest of it, but they'll never have Windows 11 on it. I think it's – to me, it feels somewhat arbitrary to demand at least 8th-gen of the core processors and whatever the equivalent is on the AMD side. And that certainly is you know, you have to have a more modern computer to have 8th gen, you know, rather than something prior to that. So I think the generation of processor, to me, it's a feeling that it's more of an issue than TPM2, and secure boot is another requirement for it. So you go back to quite a bit older computers that have TPM2 and secure boot, but don't have a processor that will meet the Windows 11 requirements.
Right. No, exactly. Well, I guess we hope that those computers will last us till 2025, and then, you know, at that point, we won't have a choice, right?
Yeah. I think that's the way I've felt about it, too. Like, but the desktop I'm on right now is an 8th gen, but I'm not even interested in having Windows 11 on it. Next week's Q&A, I'll have some interesting snarky comments to make at Microsoft about that. But, the long and short is I'm going to wait until I have no choice, which is when Windows 10 goes out of support in 2025. So, you know, I'm in no rush. And my laptops by then, probably I would be looking to replace them before then anyways, and they'll come with Windows 11 on it, whether I like it or not.
You can always switch to Linux.
I could. I won't.
Always whine about it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I could do that. But, I've been thinking, actually, that I should fire up some old box that I can play around with Linux on. As it stands right now, I have too many things that I'm pretty sure are not going to run under Linux, like my photo editor, which there's no way I'm giving that up. So, you know, I'm stuck in the Windows camp for at least that. And if I'm using it for that, I may as well use it for everything.
Linda had a question. Can you please explain the difference between quick access and explore tabs? I'm not quite sure I understand what you're asking, Linda.
Okay, well, when you showed the video, I thought the guy said this replaces the quick access.
In Windows 10, for the desktop, virtual desktops?
No.
When he was explaining the Explorer tabs where you can open the different tabs, I just didn't understand how that's going to function like a quick access that you use on the left now.
Oh, right. No. Okay. No, I'm glad you brought that up.
Did they actually remove quick access?
That's what they're – well, okay, folks, hang on a second.
I thought they renamed it. It's called Home. Yeah.
But I just wanted to know if that is going to be the same, because I just was worried.
Yeah.
Well, no, then hang on a second. I'm let me get darn. Okay. Stop. Let me do that. Okay. Yeah. So right. So quick access has turned to home.
Okay. So
It's
all under home, and then if you add these extra tabs across the top, they're like new homes?
No, the getting back to when I apply November's updates, I am going to get tab features on here, and each one of those tabs will reference the same left-hand menu structure. So the replacement of quick access will home will be consistent amongst all the tabs. It's going to be like your browser tabs, where you add a tab and you get the same view of the browser that you have as your default view.
Oh, I see. Okay. So it's just supposed to be for better navigation?
Yes. Well, the nice thing about the File Explorer tabs, if you're doing a lot of manipulation between different folders, I find that the biggest issue is that I have a file folder selected, and then I'm going to go to another one and I'm going to copy. Then I hit the back button to get me back. Well, in this case, I'll have two separate tabs. And I'll have one in one location and one in the other.
Okay.
And I'll be able to copy, go to the next day, paste, and it'll be seamless and it'll be more intuitive, because then I'll see from my source to my target easier.
Yeah, okay, I get that. Great.
But it's a good point about the, so, you know, yeah, how many conversations that we had about Microsoft saying quick access. Oh, it's the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing. No, it's not.
No, it's not the greatest thing.
It's quick access. It's no longer there. Tom,
can you drag and drop?
But it is the quick access. It's just called home.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it was renamed. The guy said he thinks it was. I can't talk. He thinks it was renamed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Can you drag and drop between tabs?
Yes. Well, I'm not sure, Tom. Going back to that gentleman's video, I'm trying to remember it. Just one moment, please. Let me go back to it.
I don't think he mentioned that in the video, did he, Tom?
Well, it was a quick video, so let's go back to it.
The tabs
it only seems to be renamed home in the left menu bar. It's still quick access in the main window.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, very good one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Microsoft. Yeah. Quite frankly, the hullabaloo about tabbed File Explorer, I mean, you can bring up two copies of File Explorer and drag and drop between them and do everything that you could do in a tabbed interface. It's just a little bit more awkward to place your windows side by side or something like that. But it's not like it's impossible. Or you can use a third-party file manager, like I use Total Commander. And, you know, it makes it really easy for moving files around and things like that.
So here's how it works. You just open up File Explorer like normal, and you see you have tabs up here, and you'll have a plus button like you do with your web browser. So you can just click on that. And it'll open up another tab. So it'll always open up the new tab at home. And by the way, home is used to be called quick access. So now they changed that to home. So we'll see if that sticks. But if you want to open up a tab somewhere else, let's say your documents, you can right click on it, open a new tab, and it'll open it there. Or, you know, just from your C drive, from wherever, open a new tab. And of course, you still have the open a new window. If you want to open a whole other window, and then you can open tabs within that window and just have tabs and windows all over the place. So there's some right-click options. So when you right-click, let's say, close tabs to the right, I'll close everything to the right. Let's open up a couple more here.
He was just showing how to close
them. And let's say you want this one, but you want to close everything else. You can right-click it, close all other tabs.
No, I guess just not. Leave
the one tab.
Well, I wouldn't say not necessarily, because an intelligent thing would be that you could drag the file up and point at, hover over another tab that would bring that other tab to the foreground, and then you could drag down. That would be an intelligent way to do it, I would think. Whether they've implemented that, I have no clue. But somebody with the latest update will have to let us know.
Okay, and let's see here.
We have Joss says, will the new Windows 11 security requirement allow you to run some secure apps that won't run on Windows 10 but can run on the cell phone or tablet?
Well, good question. I don't know, but did anyone catch the irony of the fact that, oh, Windows 11, it's more secure. But, hey, we'll let you run 20,000 Android apps. And then if you go about talking about Android apps, Harvey's getting where I'm going at. And, oh, hey, look at all the apps that are coming through that are malicious in one way or another. Oops. I mean, yeah.
No, I would have to defend Microsoft on that, actually, because they've hardened things such that even if it's a malicious app, what it can do is more limited. So they've been building on this for many versions of Windows. And so they have things like, you know, the crown jewels of Windows is your login credentials. Well, they've hardened the authentication portion of it so that it can only be accessed in very specific ways, so that a malicious app typically can't get to your authentication portion of Windows itself. You know, so they're doing things like that so that even if you have a malicious app, then they're limiting the damage that it can actually do.
Continue. Go ahead. I'm responding to Jocelyn. Any estimate of percentage of current Windows users? And 23% of Windows devices. It's about 75%. So, yeah. And that, oh, I thought there was more recent. Sorry. I thought I saw something more recent.
Yeah, but even 25% would be a huge number of PCs. You're talking.
Oh, there it is. There over it is.
1 in 6, okay. But even that, that's a huge number of computers.
20%.
Yeah.
That's down 5% from the other article. Oh, sorry, 3%.
Mm. Yeah. No, I'm to that point, I mean, I speak to my other organizations where we get together and have IT directors, managers, powwow type of thing. And, you know, Windows 11 is still verboten in their organizations. Now, I've made the decision for my organization that new laptops are coming in with Windows 11, and we're going to continue with that, especially with what they've come out with 22H2. I think that's going to be a big benefit. And in fact, I believe it's going to be a consideration for upgrading some of our Windows 10 units to Windows 11. We'll see. We got to do some testing and so forth to see if it's really worth the trouble. But anyways, that answers Jocelyn's question. And I'm thank you, Joss, for asking that, because I think it's a good point.
Yeah. Harvey mentions that Windows 11 File Explorer does not have a move function. I don't think any version of File Explorer has ever had a move function. You can have a cut and then a paste, which is in effect a move function, or a right click. Like if you drag a file and it's on the same disk or same partition, it will be a move function by default. If you drag and drop on different disks, it is by default a copy function. But while you're dragging, you can hold down modifier keys, control, or shift, and then things like that to get it to change what its actual default is. But I don't think there was ever a move function within File Explorer.
Windows 10 has a move function. Yeah.
Windows 10? I'm looking at here. I don't see it anywhere.
Right click or control will allow you to drag and drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Move.
Yeah. If you go into your Windows 10, for example, the area, let's say you highlighted a file.
Yeah.
You can then choose to move it to a specific area. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, and Paul and Maria made the comment here that
where do you? Oh, I see. Yeah, move it.
Do you see that, Chris?
Yeah, I see it, but it's interesting on mine. It's grayed out. I have a copy to, but I don't have the move to. Is actually grayed out. But you can effectively do the same thing by cutting and then pasting into your destination.
The other note I just wanted to mention, Lawrence, the BitLocker for Windows 11. I too am a Dell person for many, many years, and I've set up several laptops from Dell this past 2 months. All of them have the BitLocker, the default on the Windows Home. And I thought, I'm going to try booting in safe mode. And lo and behold, it asked me for the recovery key.
Right.
Going into the client's Microsoft account, I was able to verify that, yes, in fact, that did work. So, yeah.
But here's the interesting thing. I'm running a Dell on Windows 11 Home, and it does not include BitLocker. So they did. Yes, you're absolutely correct. You're not the only one. Let's put it this way. There are many users, and actually it was a Ask Woody forum question that had many responses going back and forth about the fact that, yeah, on some Dells, it comes with BitLocker enabled, but you surprise, you typically find out after you run into a situation and it comes up and asks you for the key and you're sitting there going, key? What key? What do you mean key? BitLocker? What the heck is BitLocker? and yeah, so someone at Dell said, oh, we're going to put BitLocker on the, I think it's the Windows 10 Home machines, and I don't know for what period of time. And then they decide, oops, oh, maybe that's not such a good idea after all. It's too bad they couldn't make it an option.
I think my Asus Transformer has BitLocker on it. Alan has a similar one, which may have come with BitLocker.
Yeah.
I thought, and I may have this wrong, but I thought it was that on Home, you could have what they term device encryption, as opposed to the real full-blown BitLocker, which allows you to do more granular control over it. Whereas with Home, it effectively is BitLocker, but only to encrypt the entire device or the boot partition or something like that, but I'm not sure. Microsoft really confuses things because they refer to things by the same sort of term, and then they, you know, there are limitations in one place and not in another, so I'm not really sure about that. But I know that Home does have the ability to do device encryption, and I think in some places they refer to that as being BitLocker, but it's not really the full granular control that you get over things with Pro and Enterprise and Education with full BitLocker, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know.
I think I understand it the same way you do, Chris. Just to go over a couple of other chat items, Paul and Maria, they made the comment that Windows 11 would be able to run on most hardware sold since 2017, 2018. That being said, we can all use our PC, et cetera, for 6 to 10 years. So I would say about 40% can currently be upgraded to 11. I just don't know what the overall experience is, but let's remember one thing. When Windows 11, it's still called version 10 point blah, 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 blah. It's not called version 11. So, you know, and I suspect the reason for that is that Microsoft didn't want to cause a lot of programmers angst, because in many cases a program will reach out and look at the version number and say, is it 10 dot blah, 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 as their way of identifying the operating system. In other words, the programmer did a shortcut, and Microsoft said, okay, fine, we'll continue to number it this way.
Which I think actually bodes well for compatibility issues, because what they're saying is that, in essence, if it runs on Windows 10, it should run on Windows 11 as well, which is a good thing.
Yes. For example, Lawrence, if you go into, let's say, a Brother or HP site to get a driver,
yes,
it'll identify it as Windows 10 64-bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The option above that is Windows 11.
thank you. Yes, Harvey, I ran into that too with a Brother install 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was the same. Ah, okay. Which
you
makes life
your hair out, eh?
Exactly.
Serge Eric has a Question or comment, any progress on Edge replacement uninstallation in Windows 11? I don't think we'll ever see that. At this point, I can't live without my Opera speed dial. There's nothing to prevent you from running another browser. The bugaboo comes from if you try to activate your browser from a link or something like that. So you get an email with a link in it and you click on it, it opens up your default browser. And that you can still do some stuff with changing what your default browser is, but they've made it way, way more awkward than they had to. And so they're really trying to force Edge on a lot of people for sure. Until they really fix that, you could change, you know, the obvious ones, HTTP, HTTPS, and, you know, things like that, and make sure that that opens up in whatever browser you choose. But there are a lot of other protocols, you know, FTP on through your browser and things like that. So there's dozens of protocols. So you could easily change a couple of them, but I think changing your default browser is still incomplete at best.
Here, they have improved it.
Okay, good.
So they've it used to be, this list used to be, now, okay, folks, I have to say, I select Microsoft Edge because I also use this for kind of work, and I'm totally on to Microsoft 365. So I really don't want my stuff that I have for work opening up in anything but Microsoft 365. So I made the choice of continuing to select it. But my point is that it's become quite a bit easier now to select your default app than it was when Windows 11 first came out.
Yeah, but you still have probably a couple of dozen or a dozen protocols that you have to go and change. So it's about a dozen clicks that you have to make, which you're probably going to have to make every time they do a major feature update where they'll unceremoniously replace them all.
That's a good point.
Yeah. They've been taking to task a lot on that. They don't seem to really care all that much. They throw a little bit of a bone at it, like having this where you have a list of a dozen things that you have to go and change rather than just one. But it is possible, but yeah. John G actually commented that you can indeed drag a file to a different tab. And so it's like, I thought they might implement it. Hover it over the new tab. It'll open up allowing you to drop the file on that tab. So that's good. Yeah, so not bad way to be able to move files around, just having both tabs open, dragging and dropping between it. Bob Harris uses shift and to move or control to copy when he's dragging a file. And yeah, that's a good way to do it. Paul and Maria say you probably need to turn on secure boot for BitLocker to function. Oh, good point. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. This needs to be turned on in the system BIOS, and certainly on any new computer that comes with Windows 11, because it requires secure boot, it will be turned on. So you'll have that there. Tom says, I commonly run three browsers concurrently with one or two more for specific sites. Yeah, I use quite a few different browsers too.
Mm.
Lorraine says, I was able to upgrade to Windows 11 without any problems. Got the update H2 or 22H2 shortly after. Good to know that they're really on top of things to be pushing out the latest, greatest.
It'll be interesting to see. I had my colleague ask me today, do you think Microsoft will make people switch to Windows 11? Well, I guess we'll see in a couple of years, right?
I don't know that they will ever make you, but they will probably hound you like crazy. Mm-hmm. And if they stop security updates, I don't know. I mean, I would not want to be running an operating system that is not supported by the vendor from a security point of view.
Yeah.
And so unless it's an isolated machine. And I mean totally isolated, isolated from the internet, isolated from other computers on your network, ideally. So I think at that point, they're probably just going to take the tack. They don't care. I mean, you know, it's just, if you're not going to upgrade, they'll keep telling you, oh, you really should upgrade. You really should upgrade. But I don't think they'll ever, you know, invalidate the licenses or anything like that.
Okay. Here's a good, Tom, the extra desktops. You mean the virtual desktops, Tom? You're muted.
Yes.
Okay. I have been. Let me, okay, I knew this was going to happen. I was going to turn off share. Just a second here. So let me, so we're seeing, okay, great.
I suppose you could have like one for home and one for work. I don't see, see that as having to put a, being able to put a separation between kind of different categories of interaction with the computer, but ordinarily, I don't see that. I find extra monitors much handier.
I don't disagree, but once I did the presentation, I was flipping back and forth between, and as you can see, if I have it up like this, you can see that I have my personal and my work, and along with the applications that are in each. I found it to be very useful. So, I mean, I'm quite happy that one of the takeaways I got from this presentation was the virtual desktops. And who knows, the voice assist, I may give that a try at some point.
Yeah, that actually looks kind of cool. The what I use the virtual desktop, I don't use it often. I have fair-sized monitors, so I have a lot of desk real estate. But what I found was that if you have quite a few apps open at any one time, and you might organize them on your desktop, you know, to make efficient use of the entire desktop, and then you have another couple of apps you want to use, well, rather than just layering them on top of your open windows, you could just open up another virtual desktop and arrange apps on that window and then easily switch back and forth. So it really gives you that extra desktop real estate that you can play with and switch easily between them. But I agree, like, a monitor is better than a virtual desktop. A real desktop is better than a virtual desktop or an extended desktop. So, but it's free and in the box, whereas an extra monitor is not.
Well, and one of the reasons why I'm sort of, well, it may have to wait till the Christmas holidays, but my work desktop, even though I have the 32-inch monitor, 4K monitor, I could really see me having the virtual desktop for my, I have to help someone with a problem mode versus I need to work on a couple of documents for strategy. So if I could flip between those two, that I think there's a great productivity improvement in having that feature. So there's an example.
And especially using the hotkeys, control shift, left arrow, right arrow, makes it really fast to just switch between your virtual desktops. So, I think it, as I say, you know, Tom, with multiple monitors, sure, it's more efficient and better. They're always there, always visible. But if you don't want to spend the money on the monitor and electricity to run them, virtual desktops is a poor man's way around it, I guess.
Three of my monitors were free because they were discarded by other people upgrading to bigger monitors rather than more monitors. Yeah. So it's monitors can be free. I think I gave away a couple of smaller monitors because I can only actually easily run four monitors here. My fifth monitor is sitting upside down in my bedroom.
The virtual desktop, Lawrence, you were talking about.
Yeah.
You said you have a client, so you take, say, like a document from your work, and you move it into the virtual?
You would take a program, and you move it into your virtual.
Okay, but does that program affect, if it was accessing a file on your work, would that still affect your file, or does it create its own file? So
They're still running on the same CPU. It's just the desktop. It's just the desktop.
Now, go ahead.
Oh, so it doesn't, the one saying, does it affect the original document when you save it?
No, because you think of, I wouldn't think of it in documents, but more programs.
Actually, even worse than that, think of it in terms of as if you had a separate monitor is the way it is. I mean, if you can open up the document on one desktop versus another, I mean, it's just as if you have an extended desktop. It's not anything different in the way the files are handled. Just think of it like an extended desktop with two monitors. It's, you know, you're working with the same files. It's not as if you can open up the file in a different way on a virtual desktop. It's the same computer.
Yeah.
It's just a different window onto it.
Okay.
Who was it that provided this? Dennis. Thank you, Dennis. That's a very interesting graph, folks. I mean.
Yeah, the stack counter. Yeah.
I mean, it just, when you look at it and you go, especially when you see Windows 7.
That makes me really wonder, though. 15%? I would have thought it would be higher than that.
Well, and, you know, in some cases you find that there's variances. It's built. They have different ways of building these numbers.
Yeah.
So some of the assumptions may result in it being bigger. But
well, especially as seeing as it's a stack counter from web pages or whatever, and considering that Windows 11 calls itself Windows 10, you know, it may be that Windows 11 is really lumped in with Windows 10 numbers on this site. I don't know.
If you get an error message saying your computer isn't compatible for Windows 11, is there anything you can purchase hardware-wise other than a new computer?
Not yours.
Yeah, I mean, it's a slippery slope. That's a good question, Linda. Yeah. I mean, there's people out there that they do. But, you know, it's almost like being running as a hobby. You know what I mean? It's if you're really serious about requiring a computer that runs Windows 11, you're most likely going to buy a replacement computer.
Yeah, if you think about what's going to make it fail, is probably number one is going to be the age of the CPU, that it won't be 8th gen or better Core i processor. And if you want to replace that, you're talking about replacing your motherboard. Typically.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so there's the guts of the computer. Yeah. So you may as well just buy a new computer at that point, really.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm just going through here because this is very I get it. Okay. But it's not showing how long has 16 been out, folks? Does anyone know off the top of their head?
How long has what been out?
iOS 16.
Oh, God, I have
no
idea.
It's been out for a couple of weeks on the iPad. It's been out for like a month and a half, 2 months on the smartphone, on iPhone.
So I'm wondering. I'm wondering if this is the dotted. But anyways, Anyways, it's. And let's look at Android, just because we're here. So 11, 12. And again, they don't have 13. Because I was with two of my colleagues today, and they're both on 13.
Or 12.
Well, there's 12. But 13 isn't listed.
I don't see 12.
It's right here. It's this one right here.
So Paul and Maria had a comment. You could buy a refurbished computer that is Windows 11 ready. Just a thought. And if it's Windows 11 ready, it's probably not a bad computer because it's, you know, it's something that is probably, you know, within the last 5 years or so. So it's,
yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Not a bad idea at all. Okay, we are just coming up on about 5:02. So if there are any last questions, or anything like that.
Just what a comment about the tab navigation. I'm just surprised about all the excitement about it in Windows 11 because I've been using tab navigations for 15 years with a Windows replacement called Directory Office. And not only that, it's a dual pane Windows replacement with tabs, and you can copy files in other tabs. You can move files to other tabs. Not only that, but you can move tabs between panes.
Yeah.
So I'm just.
I know. I'm the same way. I've been using Total Commander since back in the days of Windows 95. I've been using it. So I've been a user of it over 15 years, I'm sure. Probably over 20 years at this point in time. Bob Walker and I are probably going to be doing a Q&A presentation at some point on Total Commander, which is one of these shell replacement things that allows you to do file management a lot more smoothly. There's lots of them out there. There's at least a half a dozen I know of that are well supported, and most of them are free or shareware. You know, so yeah, I don't get the big hullabaloo about tabbed interface in File Explorer either. The only thing that I would say to that, I guess, is that if you have it, if you're dealing with working with other people's computers, like going and helping them out and things like that, to have a file manager built into Windows that you know is there that has some extra functionality, that's nice. But again, on my computers, I never use File Manager.
Well, actually, Directory Opus comes also on a you can install it on a USB drive, so yeah. You can bring it to any computer you want.
And yeah, it's just it's often you don't happen to have it, so it's just nice if you know that there is a native tool that has some additional functionality. I mean, it's a good thing. I still probably wouldn't use it.
Also, I also use a tab management software called Office Tab to get tabs into Word, Excel, PowerPoint. Very practical. It's cool. A third-party software, of course. It's paid, but I got it on special at one point many years back. But it's very, very practical.
Very cool.
Just mention that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Alan mentions that most Linux file managers use tabs and have done so for years. Yeah, I mean, Microsoft is really behind the ball when it comes to, you know, new features for things like that. I mean, most of the new features that Microsoft brings out, third parties have had them for years. And, you know, it's just sometimes it costs you a little bit of extra money. Sometimes it's free.
It reminds me of all the things that come out to say they're gluten-free, you know, like oranges and things.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, before, one of the things, I don't know if you folks know this, but the difference between the two cars, one was the 2016 Ford Focus, and the other one was the 2022 Ford Focus. And I don't know if you guys noticed it, but you have to look. Unless you're a car aficionado, you have to look to see what the differences are.
We didn't focus on it.
Touché.
Back in the old days, you used to go to the rear of the car and look at the red lens. It had the days in it. Remember those days?
So, but my point is, like Windows 11, folks, there's subtle changes there. So the car metaphor works.
They're slowly bringing back some of the features that they took away that would annoy me to not have, like right-clicking the taskbar and choosing Task Manager. They're bringing that back. You know, so that apparently is in this latest update as well. And so some things like that, you know, I don't know why they took it away in the first place, but, you know, they are bringing back some of the things. So maybe by the time I have to move in 3 years, maybe by then they'll have brought everything back that I would have sorely missed. Okay, we are just at the 9 o'clock, so I think we should bring the session to a close. I would like to thank Lawrence a great deal, as well as Bob and Linda, for the putting together this presentation, and Linda and Bob for their participation and acting skills throughout it. Lawrence put together a really good presentation that highlighted what's new and different in Windows 11, and I think we had a really good discussion afterwards where people could chime in on things that they were wondering if it was actually there, and Lawrence was able to demo some of the new features and things like that. So thanks very much, Lawrence, for all your time and effort in putting it together.
You're welcome.
So yeah. If anybody is still on the call who was not a member and does want to become a member, once again, I will paste into the chat window. You can pick that up now if you want to join. And our next meeting will be Q&A next Wednesday evening. And we've already got a fair amount of stuff in there. But if you have anything that you want to participate on in terms of a share of information or a question you want to pose or anything like that, by all means, send it into suggestion box at opcug.ca. And with that, I will say good night to all and hope to see you all at Q&A next week.
Night all.
Thank you, folks.
I'd like to thank Lawrence, and I'm not ready for prime time players.
Thanks, Chris.
It was a good.
Yeah, it was really good.
It reminds me of my read-ins for theater. See off.